I think so often when I've heard teaching on Deborah, it's been from the perspective of there not being any men available to lead at the time. And that's actually not biblical. And so as we dive into Deborah's story, we're going to see God's design to include women in leadership. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we are continuing our devotional Bible study, reading through the Old Testament and looking at different women. And today's kind of a BOGO. I am always one that likes a buy one, get one free sale. And so today we're actually talking about Deborah and Jael because their stories are very closely intertwined. And if you're just joining us, I'd encourage you to go back to the beginning of this series because each day kind of builds on each other and we're going throughout the books of the Old Testament. One by one. And if you'd like some extra resources, if you want to dive a little bit deeper, I just want to remind you that for every day, there's also journaling prompts available. And the journaling prompts, you can use them in a variety of ways. For me, journaling is a way to get the information from my head into my heart. It helps me process what I'm learning. It also serves as a really good discussion question to maybe ask at the dinner table or with your spouse. Those are free. They're part of our Patreon membership. Patreon starts at $5 a month and it also includes ad-free episodes, bonus content, and more. You can find more about our Patreon linked in the show notes. And so today we are in Judges, starting at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She went for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands.' Barak said to her, 'If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go.' 'Certainly I will go with you,' said Deborah. 'But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman.' So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There, Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned the Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River, all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, 'Is anyone in there?' say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. So this is a pretty intense story, and I think it's important for us to kind of understand and get our footing about what's happening as we unpack all of this. So the Israelites, of course, we know, we've been studying this for a week or so now, they had crossed the Jordan River, and Israel's basically decided to conquer and settle the Promised Land, and it's off to a really great start. But over time, for a lot of different reasons, it kind of lost steam. They lost momentum, and realistically, taking over a country is a big ordeal, and there were people that were already living there that were opposition to God's people. And so by the time it was Joshua's final days, basically, the people of God had given up attempting to even squash these pockets of Canaanite resistance that was all over the place, kind of popping up left and right. And so after Joshua died, the nation basically went off the rails. And so this is a time frame between when Joshua died and before Saul became king of Israel. And it wasn't long before the angel of the Lord showed up and he announced the consequences of how Israel was sliding into sin. And in Judges chapter 2, it says, "I will not drive out these people for you. They will be thorns in your sides and their gods will be a trap for you." See, the Canaanite people worshiped all sorts of false gods. They did all sorts of crazy, chaotic stuff that was just pure evil. And God had given the Israelites the distinction that you're to go in, you're going to take the land, and you're going to drive these evil people from the land. They were not doing that. And so now basically God's saying, "I'm not going to do this for you because I already told you to do it." And so this basically ushered in a really dark period of Israel's history. There was a lot going on. It was very chaotic. It was described as a lawless period. In Judges 21, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did whatever he wanted." And so there was a period of about 300 years where there was this really dark cycle that was repeating itself over and over again. So the Israelites would basically fall into so much sin and idolatry, and it would be so bad that God would allow an enemy nation to come in and attack his people and basically deal with the consequences of their sin. And then that would basically drive people to cry out to God. And so in response, God would deliver them through a warrior like Samson, or like Gideon was a leader in Judges 6, or Deborah. We see Deborah come on the scene. And these were called judges, but they were also not the judges how you and I would think of just judges holding court. They were military leaders. And so yes, they were judges in the form of determining and making decisions for the country, but they were also military leaders.
Music.
Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code HEARINGJESUS. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code HEARINGJESUS for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And so this is the period where we find Deborah, and we learn that Deborah was also called a prophetess, which means that just like we heard about this when we'd studied Miriam, and in the New Testament we would see Anna called a prophetess, it basically meant that regularly, on a regular basis, not just like a one-time thing, Deborah received a divine revelation or word from God for the people of Israel. And so Deborah was appointed the job of judge, and so she was, of course, a wife. She was known to be a prophetess within Israel, but now she was a judge. And it was during that time, that lawless time of Israel's history, between the leadership of Joshua and then eventually the leadership of Saul. And it was that long season where there was no king. Instead, there was just these judges. And there was not really a sense of right or wrong. The judges would have legal authority to make decisions, but really they were military conquerors, and their job was to secure peace from these people that were attacking them from the outside. So Deborah basically kept kind of like an office. It was literally a palm tree between two locations in the hill country, and that's probably where she shared a lot of the prophetic words that God was giving her for the people of Israel. She probably offered counsel there, both to the leaders of the communities or to just people that lived in that area. She spoke and tried to speak truth into the people that were living at the time, trying to speak on behalf of God and try to bring them back in and reel them back in. And then she also would make decisions over any kind of disputes that would come up. And so essentially what was happening is there was this military threat that was coming up. So Deborah called in Barak, who was a leader, and she commanded him to take 10,000 men and to go and attack the forces of Jabin. King Jabin had appointed General Sisera. So Jabin was the Canaanite king at the time who reigned, and he had really caused a lot of problems for Israel for a couple decades at this point. And so General Sisera was in charge of his armies that were coming to attack. And so Barak, who probably had some, clearly had some insecurity of his own, and he also really valued Deborah's proven record, both with the Lord and with her leadership ability, he pleaded for her to come with him into battle. And she said, I will go with you, but you will receive no honor. And she says, on the road you're about to take, because the Lord will deliver Sisera into woman's hand. And so basically, Deborah went and she went with Barak to the area of Kadesh, where this was all going to go down. So the troops were in position. Deborah gave the signal, and Barak led the charge. And as they're rushing down the mountainside, the Israelites basically outdid the Canaanites and their 900 chariots. And this is just a bunch of Israelites that really weren't prepared to have this kind of battle. But the deliverance came mostly because of Deborah's boldness and her leadership. And so going back to the prophecy of Deborah, Sisera fled the battle and he hid. He was the only one that survived. All of the other people that were part of that battle, the bad guys, they all died. And so Sisera ran away like a little baby, and he comes upon Jael's house. And so Jael was married to a Kenite man named Heber, and there was this alliance between the people of Sisera and King Jabin and this family. And so these two were just minding their own business, and this guy comes up to him, and basically he wants respite from this war that he was basically just fighting in. And so he's at Jael's front door, and he's assuming that he would be safe because his boss, King Jabin, had this really good relationship with these people, and he miscalculated. And so under this pretense of providing shelter and some warm milk and a nice blanket to drink, she lured him to sleep. And then when he dozed off, she reached for her hammer and she put this tent stake to his temple and she drove it into the ground. And so she had killed Sisera, who was the last one remaining from King Jabin's army. And so let's think about this for a minute. God used two women to deliver Israel. Deborah and Jael, for that matter, they were not the backup plan. See, whenever the Lord would raise up a judge over Israel, it was that judge that he wanted to use to rescue the people from their enemies. And that would happen throughout that judge's lifetime. And the Lord would take pity on his people because they were crying out for help and they were burdened and they were oppressed and they were suffering. And so God would raise up a leader. Nowhere in scripture does it say, oh, there were no godly men in Israel, so God settled for Deborah. That is not what happened. Instead, the text literally just describes Israel's continuing sin issue and how God used another judge to show his grace and his deliverance, and Deborah was that judge. She's described as being a wife, a prophet, and a judge. She was not a backup plan. That is not biblical. And so if you hear it taught that way, you have to recognize that that is man's opinion. That is not God's opinion. See, Deborah is one of a few women in scripture that is said to have had this prophetic gift, which means she had the ability to discern the purpose of God, the mind of God, the will of God, and declare it to others. In the days of the Old Testament, the prophets or the prophetesses, they were basically the way that God would speak to his people. Because remember, this is before Jesus. This is before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so God would use prophets and they would have this spiritual gift to not just understand what God was saying, but then to proclaim it, to speak it out. And it was this divine truth that God was trying to communicate to his people. And there was a sense of leadership. That is a gifting from the Lord. It is not an exception. It is an example. And what I want us to take away from this is this understanding that there is no division when it comes to leadership between men and women. It is a complete picture. When we go back to the Garden of Eden, we learn that it was the image of God that was portrayed in the completion of both Adam and Eve. Both of them are the complete picture of the image of God. It wasn't until the fall that there came some subjugation of women. And so the whole reason why Jesus came, the whole reason that we as the body of Christ are living this life chasing after God is we are trying to undo the effects of the curse. The whole reason Jesus came was to undo the effects of the curse of the original sin. This was not God's design. In fact, it's the opposite of God's design. God's design initially with Adam and Eve was a partnership, this equal partnership that showed how they complemented each other. And that was a perfect picture of how God intervenes. See, there's this word, Azar, that describes Eve, and it also describes Deborah. See, Eve was called the Azar, and so often that is translated as the helper or the helpmate. But what that word actually means is it's the same word that describes the Holy Spirit. It's the same word that describes a warrior in battle that comes to help you when you're in distress. It's not, okay, I'm going to wait on you hand and foot. I'm going to make your dinner and wait for you to make all the decisions and just tell me what to do and control me. That's not what it is. It's a picture of this partnership of somebody that comes to rescue you when you are fighting a battle. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit and the way that he helps us fight our battles. That's the picture that we get of Eve. That's the picture we get of Deborah. And so when God chose Deborah to be a prophetess, to be a leader, that was on purpose. The scriptures very clearly convey the strength and the help of a woman used by God to not just come alongside Barak with encouragement, but to plan and to execute a military conquest. So her role in freeing God's people is this beautiful echo of what God did in the garden. She is an Ezer woman, just like Eve was, who was called to be a leader and a helper of the people of Israel. And we see such a beautiful example in the fact that she didn't come alongside to diminish Barak's role or his responsibility, but it was her presence and her confidence that he wanted her there that gave him the courage and the confidence to do what God had called him to do. And together, they led that nation to freedom. Together. That's the point I want to make, that there is equal leadership. Her leadership was the catalyst that gave Barak the courage and the boldness to do what God had called him to do. And together they fought the oppression and they brought Israel to freedom. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this beautiful reminder and picture of how you use women, and you have since the beginning. From the very beginning of scripture, we see it, and you will continue to use women until you come back. God, I thank you for the way that you give us these examples, and we can see what the scripture says for what it says and not assign our own preconceived ideas and notions to it. But Lord, help us to continue to seek you, to understand your character and your nature and the way that you desire to use women within the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you for the example we have in Deborah and even Jael for their courage, their boldness, and their leadership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey friends, if this podcast helps encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.